Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technologies, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Very dangerous. You go first. It's time for Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert, flying solo today. Sharon is feeling a bit under the weather, and in fact, a number of us here around Skywatch TV have been doing poorly as of late. Josh Peck, you may know, is waiting for arthroscopic knee surgery, so he's hobbling around a little bit and really not able to make it into the studio in order to fill in. So what we've decided to do today, rather than me try to take the place of the smarter half of our broadcast team here, is show you some clips as a preview of our forthcoming mini-documentary, a sort of travelogue documenting our tour of Israel, Jordan, Rome, and Sardinia. This will be available in August, along with my forthcoming book, Last Clash of the Titans. So again, rather than me try to regale you for 28 minutes on subjects that really aren't my area of expertise, we're going to take you on a brief whirlwind preview tour of the Holy Land.
Well, honey, here we are. We're sitting in our office, and a lot of people are watching this DVD, and they're wondering, what are they going to talk about next? Well, we're going to talk about so many things. It's June 11th for us when we're recording this, and we're also trying to remember where we've been. We had a whirlwind 3 weeks overseas, and we want to tell you about it in a linear fashion that makes sense.
So here we are just about a month down the road. So we're looking back at the itineraries, and we'll go through and offer some commentary and intersperse with some of the pictures and some of the video clips that we took as we traveled from Israel through Jordan and then on to Rome and Sardinia.
Oh, it was such, we had such a good time.
We're here on the summit of Mount Carmel, the place where Elijah and the prophets of Baal had their famous confrontation. You can see the clouds in the sky behind me. We, as our tour guide said, have been reenacting the final scene of the battle between Elijah and King Ahab. Thankfully, the rain has stopped now, just in time for us to take a panoramic view of the valley below, the Valley of Jezreel, where Elijah ran ahead of Ahab's chariot. If you look real carefully, off in the distance, you can see this crazy-looking bearded guy wearing a robe and sandals running like mad. The reason God stopped the rain for 3.5 years, according to James, in the Epistle of James, is to prove that he had no power. This, whether it was Baal, the storm god, or Heracles, or Melkart, the dying and rising god, they had no power in Israel, which was God's territory. And that was the reason for the confrontation. Mount Carmel was a holy mountain. There had been an altar to Yahweh on that mountain that had been destroyed, broken down, abandoned in favor of the new god.
And as you write in your book, The Great Inception, it was one of a number of holy mountains.
Yes, yeah, and of course.
So think Eden here, the Mount of Assembly,
right?
Except for the fallen.
Yeah. We're here at the site of Megiddo. This is the ruins of the ancient city where there were a couple of very famous battles fought in history. The Pharaoh Thutmose III fought a coalition of Canaanite kings here in the 15th century B.C., not long before the Exodus. And then again in the year 609 B.C., King Josiah was defeated by an Egyptian army led by Pharaoh Necho. Josiah was mortally wounded here, the last good king of Judah, taken back to Jerusalem where he died. However, a common misconception among Christians is that Megiddo is the site of the future battle of Armageddon. That happens not to be the case. When the Apostle John transliterated from Hebrew to Greek, he had a problem in that the Hebrew character Ayin, which is represented by a reverse apostrophe because we don't have a letter or a sound for it in English or in Greek, he substituted the Hebrew character Gimel.
Greek.
Which is a G. No, it's the Hebrew character Gimel. So what he began with, which was Har Moed, which means Mount of Assembly, which is Mem Ayin Daleth, he transliterated into Greek as Mem Gimel Daleth,
And so people reading the Greek would say, oh, okay, that means Har Megiddon. Must be Megiddo.
Yeah.
But the phrase is actually Mount of Assembly.
Hmm.
Mount of the Congregation. What is God's Mount of Assembly today and forever?
Zion.
Zion. And that's where?
In Jerusalem.
So Armageddon will be fought at Jerusalem. This tracks with prophecies in the Old Testament, Zechariah, and in Joel, when he talks about bringing the nations together on the mountains of Israel to fight at Jerusalem. This is why Jerusalem is a cup of trembling for the nations. Armageddon, contrary to popular belief, will not be fought at Megiddo. It will be fought at Jerusalem. And the prize is the Mount of Assembly, Zion.
On Thursday, we went to the Kersey National Park, had a wonderful boat ride on the Galilee.
Oh, yes, yes, the Sea of Galilee. That was really incredible. Danny Carmel takes people out on the water, usually Christian tours. He's the only boat owned and operated by Messianic Jews on the Sea of Galilee. And so we were blessed to be out there. He's also a really incredible singer.
Yes, very good singer.
And so we got out there and we did some worship.
Oftentimes, those who accept Christ as Savior follow that with baptism. So we got to go to Yard and Eat.
It's a place, and you know, you pay a small fee.
Mm-hmm.
You are given a robe and a towel, and then you can go to a certain area that they set aside, and they've got it very well organized. It's very neat, very clean.
Mm-hmm.
You can go into the Jordan River and be baptized in the Jordan River.
And you did the baptizing.
That was Pastor Derek. Surprise. I've never baptized anyone ever in my life. And
well, you did a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. There were about a dozen people on the tour who asked if I would, and it was an honor. Especially after Dr. Heiser gave his teaching on why we baptize. And this is based on some verses in 1 Peter. Dr. Heiser's teaching on baptism basically comes down to this. Every time we do it, we are essentially in the same way Jesus proclaimed to the captives in prison, who were the watchers.
Yes.
The angels who sinned. We are basically proclaiming Christ's victory over them and over death.
Yes.
If they were created when the Nephilim were destroyed, presumably in the flood, then those spirits are still with us today. It was the origin of the Greek hero cult. They worshipped Hercules and Perseus and Theseus, etc. Those spirits are still with us today, if this theory is correct. There's scriptural support for it, and again, it was the default belief of the early church. We're not trying to get weird and introduce new beliefs into the church. We're just trying to get back to an understanding that the prophets and apostles had. So do you believe that it's a coincidence that this is the place Jesus asked that important question to Peter? Who do you say that I am? And you know Peter's response. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. On this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell, which, by the way, are right over here, will not stand against it. That's what Jesus was saying. That's why he picked this spot.
Oh,
wow. Coincidence?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not a coincidence theorist. Praise God. Right here. This is the rock.
Amen.
These are excerpts from our forthcoming DVD, which we're calling Wars of the Gods, Volume 1, Search for the Titans. This will be available in August, along with my forthcoming book, Last Clash of the Titans. Details on that coming very soon, available from Defender Publishing in August. And coming up, an interview with Timothy Alberino, Gen 6 Productions, and Spanish explorer Anselm P. Rambla about what we found on the island of Sardinia and why it's significant. Also, details on how you can join Sharon and me on the Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel in 2019. That's ahead on Sci Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you know by now that we are hosting another True Legends Conference this September at the Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri. Today, we're excited to announce that live streaming for this event is now available on gen6.com. Last year's True Legends Conference was an incredibly powerful event. All of our speakers delivered compelling presentations on a range of topics dealing with the Genesis 6 narrative. Many of the people who joined us in Branson or live streamed online said this was the best conference they've ever experienced. We received testimonies from people all over the world whose lives were profoundly touched by this event.
This year, Gen 6 Productions, Skywatch TV, and InfoWars are joining forces against the technocratic elite and their Luciferian agenda. Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, David Knight, Hugo de Garis, and myself, among other dynamic speakers, will be addressing the rise of transhumanism and the hybrid age. We are living in a pivotal moment in history. The imminent convergence of emergent technologies in the fields of genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and cybernetics is about to revolutionize every facet of human society and fundamentally redefine what it means to be human. The stakes could not be higher. It is imperative that we comprehend the prophetic implications of what is about to happen to the human race on planet Earth.
True Legends, the conference 2018, will be taking place from the 14th through the 16th of September at the Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri. Seating is limited and the venue is almost sold out, but you can watch the conference live online from the comfort of your own home by purchasing a live streaming ticket on gen6.com.
Don't miss the opportunity to be a part of this extraordinary event. Go to gen6.com today and join the resistance. Purchase your live streaming ticket today and watch every session from last year's conference for free on gen6.com.
Welcome back to Sci Friday from Skywatch TV as we're sharing with you a preview of our forthcoming DVD, Wars of the Gods, Volume 1, Search for the Titans. This catalogs, chronicles our tour of Israel, Jordan, Rome, and Sardinia in May of 2018. And while we were on Sardinia, we had the opportunity to see some archaeological sites that are really intriguing, and I'm not sure scholars have exactly figured out what they're all about. While we were there, we had the opportunity to talk with Timothy Alberino and explorer Anselm P. Rambla about it. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me here, the leader of the Expedition for True Legends and Gen 6 Productions, Timothy Alberino, and the founder of the, and forgive my pronunciation, is it Bohic Ruse?
Bohic Ruse Explorer.
Bohic Ruse Explorer Society is a researcher, explorer, and an expert on ancient symbolism, as well as Oriental and pre-Columbian societies. Anselm P. Rambla, welcome.
Thank you.
Just so you know, the reason you're seeing our bare legs here for me and Tim is that today we're going to a Phoenician archaeological site here on the island of Sardinia called Taros, where we're going to explore some tombs, but also the Tophet at Taros, which is a place where Phoenicians would bury children who had been sacrificed, burned, as an offering to their god Baal Haman. So we'll be doing some physical work today, and we're getting ready to leave in a few minutes. It's not that we don't take this seriously, it's just that we want to make sure we're dressed appropriately. Anselm, this has been a remarkable trip, and we're so happy that you're here with us. What has been the
este viaje ha sido muy interesante, estamos felices que estás con nosotros.
Significant thing that you've seen on this tour of Sardinia?
¿Qué es la cosa más significado que has visto en este tour?
Bueno, en la primera investigación que Tim Alberino hizo tiempo atrás,
he said the first investigation that Tim Alberino did some time ago,
digamos analizando la isla en el tema de los gigantes, lo que son
analysis,
las tumbas, la posibilidad de tumbas importantes.
Doing an analysis of the island and of the giants and of the tombs of the giants.
Y que digamos fuesen reales, que esas tumbas fuesen de gigantes.
He said it's true that these tombs were used by giants, were for giants, were built for giants.
Después de lo que he visto esos dos días,
he said after what I've seen in these last 2 days,
lo que Tim nos ha enseñado.
He's been able to confirm that our analysis was
mi opinión es que realmente hay que hacer excavaciones importantes en profundidad.
And he said, my opinion is that what needs to happen here are profound excavations.
Creo que incluso en la isla hay mucho que hacer. Está todo muy virgen aún. Se ha hecho excavaciones, pero creo que falta mucho.
The situation here in Sardinia, it's virgin. Nobody's done really deep, profound excavations in terms of the giants, and that needs to be done.
Pero sí creo que existen evidencias muy importantes de tumbas de gigantes en esta isla.
He says, but
this is my opinion.
I think it's his opinion that there does exist physical evidence of giants, but we'd have to excavate to prove that definitively.
We've seen megalithic sites, the ziggurat that we saw a couple days ago, but the orientation of the sites, oriented toward the stars. You've done analysis, astroarchaeological.
La orientación hemos visto aquí con los megalíticos.
Todas las tumbas están orientadas norte-sur.
So all the tombs are oriented north-south.
Okay. Y también hemos visto monumentos importantes en donde hay un cálculo astronómico a través de pozos de agua, lo que llamamos espejos de agua, con mediciones astronómicas muy precisas.
And we've seen the megalithic towers, and we've seen how they were used to make very important astrological calculations using the mirror pools, which are the pools of water that they would use to reflect the certain stars, certain constellations in the towers.
Hay monumentos importantes en la isla, en ese sentido.
These are very important monuments in relationship to their function.
How old are these sites that we've been seeing?
¿Cuán antiguos son, crees?
Muy antiguos.
So they're very old. These are very ancient
constructions. Es de la cultura Nuragi.
This was the Nuragic culture?
Y anterior.
And it was the Nuragic culture and a previous culture, previous to the Nuragi.
For my opinion. Okay, not only Nuragi.
Yeah. Not just the Nuragi, a previous culture.
Hay una construcción Nuragi, pero hay evidencias anteriores a esa cultura.
There is a Nuragi construction, but then there's also a pre-Nuragi. There's evidence of a pre-Nuragi civilization.
So the Nuragi civilization was Middle Bronze Age, say, second millennium BC?
Yes. Yo pienso que hay otra cultura, o sea, hay restos, evidencias de restos que, digamos, están orientados a otra cultura más antigua que la Nuragi.
He said that, yes, he agrees with the Bronze Age, but he says there's also evidence of a much more ancient civilization that occupied the island.
Y en excavaciones, digamos, más detalladas,
he said if we were to do more detailed excavations,
encontraríamos esas evidencias de gigantismo.
Okay. We would find evidence of giants.
Was this civilization isolated to Sardinia, or are there connections to other civilizations around the Mediterranean?
Yes. ¿Aislado?
No.
¿O está conectado con las demás civilizaciones en el Mediterráneo?
Yes. Existe diferentes plazas en el Mediterráneo, como por ejemplo también las Islas Baleares. Concretamente en Menorca tenemos estructuras.
Definitely an association here with some other stuff around here. For example, in Menorca they have some structures that are very similar.
Llamados los tallallots, que son estructuras de dólmenes.
That are dolmens. They have the massive dolmens in Menorca, just like here on the island of Sardinia.
Están emparentados con Cerdeña.
And they're associated with Sardinia.
So the dolmens are a trilithon construction, two slabs and then a cap.
Son los dolmens son iguales con tres pies.
Sí, es similar, y también hay temas de gigantismo en esa zona.
He said, it's very similar, and when you talk about that area, Menorca and that area, we're also talking about giants.
So these dolmens are similar to the ones found in Jordan and Israel, the Golan Heights today.
Yes.
Tienen los dolmens son muy similares a lo que encontramos en Israel en el Medio
Oriente. All the Mediterranean. Digamos que Cerdeña parece ser la más importante en restos.
And he says, but they can be found in all the Mediterranean, the dolmens.
Okay,
and he says, but it seems that Sardinia was the epicenter, the most important spot for all of this activity, this megalith building activity in the Mediterranean.
Pero hay diferentes lugares.
Why? Why Sardinia?
¿Por qué?
I don't know.
¿Por qué Sardinia? Our professional analysis is that we don't know.
Well, that's being honest anyway. I mean, there are those like other sites, other shows, which we will not name. hair, you know, who will speculate and throw out opinions where there is no, we can't draw any conclusion.
We definitely have, and if I can explain something that I found very interesting with Anselm, is that when I first came to Sardinia some years ago, I came and I did an analysis here, and when I walked into the towers for the first time, into the larger megalithic Nuraghi towers, I felt like, because I saw the basins, the stone basins with the water, I had the distinct impression that these towers were very complex mechanisms for making astrological calculations. Astronomical calculations. And that's what I walked away with my first time here. And when Anselm went with us to the towers the other day, he's looking at me in the tower and he said, Tim, this is a mechanism to make astrological calculations. And the reason why it struck him so profoundly, and I realized this later, in my case, is because they use the same mechanism in Peru.
Yeah,
the Incan and the pre-Incan cultures use the exact same mechanism with the mirror pools, those pools of water that mirror the stars when they're in a vertical position, when they're at their zenith above those poles, the same mechanism. Hmm. So he recognized it immediately. This is to make astrological calculations.
Well, the secular scholars I've read who have researched the dolmens of the Jordan Rift Valley, and a paper that I found about the Monte de Cordi ziggurat that we explored the other day, agree that their orientation is not random. The dolmens oriented north-south. The ziggurat with the standing stones, the menhir, to the east of the ziggurat were aligned with the rising, with certain positions of the moon or Venus or the star Sirius. So this is consistent.
Dice que es obvio que los alineamientos de los monumentos no es casual, o sea, no es coincidencia, es... Está hecho en una manera muy preciso con los cielos, con las estrellas y constelaciones.
Sí, es totalmente preciso y además lo que he visto.
He said it's a precise alignment here.
Es que los análisis astronómicos son muy variados.
And he said the astrological or the astronomical rather.
Por ejemplo, hay cálculos de solsticios, equinoccios.
It's very complex. It's not just one thing. There's calculations of the equinox and the solstices.
Pleiades,
with the Pleiades constellation,
and other constellations
as well.
Y cálculos, digamos, bien sofisticados, pero de diferentes partes del cielo.
Sophisticated calculations involving different parts of the heavens.
Why did they have to move so much rock to make these calculations? Couldn't they just put one stone?
¿Por qué tenían que mover tanta piedra para hacer calculaciones así? ¿Por qué no utilizaron simplemente una piedra?
If this was just for measurement or observation, why did they move so much stone?
Bueno,
because it was easy.
No, digamos es un sistema de control de muchas razones, okay?
Por ejemplo, he's saying that this is a system to observe and to make for various uses.
Una de las más simples y más evidentes y más necesarias era el tema del control agrícola, ¿no?
And so one of the most simple explanations of why they would make these calculations would be for the harvest season and so forth, to be able to predict and to calculate when to sow, when to harvest. And
digamos, cuándo empezar las cosechas, cuándo sembrar, cuándo, etc.
When to sow, when to harvest, and so
sure,
forth.
Sure, sure. But couldn't you do that with a sundial? Why hundreds of tons of stone?
Tantas toneladas de piedra. Esa es la pregunta. And for me, the answer...
Es importante pregunta.
He says it's an important question. For me, it's evident, just like in Sardinia, as in Peru, although we're dealing with a post-flood culture here, the Nuraghi culture. In Peru, the megaliths that we study are pre-flood. The majority of the megaliths that we study are pre-flood. And what becomes evident is that it was not very difficult for them to do this. There were over 30,000 of these towers. If it was a problem for them, they wouldn't have done it. They did it because they could. And it has various uses. I think that the towers were not just devices, you know, small, like a compass. They, rather than building a small little device for taking measurements, this was a place where the priests inhabited. This is a place where they were doing other things, other ritualistic things.
A religious function.
In terms of their measurements or calculations of the heavens, there were other things going on, necromantic purposes.
Yes.
The towers were being used for necromantic, Canaanite necromancy associated with the tombs. Towers and tombs go together. So yeah. They're making calculations, but they're doing something else as well based on the calculations they're making.
Yes, yes, yes. No, existe también, bueno, digamos que se hacía servir para varias funciones.
He said the towers would have served for various functions.
Pero hay un tema también de tipo religioso, espiritual, mágico.
And he said there's also here a theme, a religious, a spiritual theme that has to do with magic. Sorcery.
Es evidente.
That's evident.
Tiene muchas funciones todo el monumento, ¿eh? No solamente.
He said these constructions have many functions, not just one.
Pero lo que también he visto, porque hay muchos, ¿no?
What I've also noticed, because there's a lot of these towers.
Y la mayoría están relacionados con el culto del agua, y con toda la parte mágica de ese elemento.
I've noticed walking through some of these towers and observing them that they're related to the cult of water and magic involving the movement of water and water. Sorcery.
Similar a las culturas, digamos, precolombinas, como las
Incas.
Similar
to the pre-Columbian civilizations, such as the Incan and so forth.
Mm. Well, I see by the complicated time-telling device on my wrist that it's almost time for our bus to leave for the Phoenician site of Taurus.
Puedo observar por el mecanismo complicado que tenemos aquí en la muñeca que ya casi llega la hora de salir.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Gracias.
Gracias, Derek. Thank you very much for your...
Timothy Alberino of Gen 6 Productions. We're on our way to check out some of the Phoenician ruins of the city of Taurus, the west coast of Sardinia. And so, until we get back into the United States, I'm Derek Gilbert.
This is just a small sample of what you'll see on the forthcoming DVD, Wars of the Gods, Volume 1, Search for the Titans. That's being offered as an added bonus with my forthcoming book, Last Clash of the Titans, The Second Coming of Hercules, Leviathan, and the prophesied final war between Jesus Christ and the gods of antiquity. That's coming in August from Defender Publishing. Right now, the runtime on the DVD is probably going to be somewhere around 2.5 hours. We'll break it into a couple of discs, but we'll offer some extras as well because there's some video clips and a whole bunch of pictures that we couldn't fit into the DVD. But this chronicles what we saw on our tour this year of Israel, Jordan, Rome, and Sardinia. Next year, Sharon and I are blessed to return to Israel and Jordan, and we hope you can join us for the Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel. Information is available online at lipkintours.com. Once again, they're coordinating the tour for us. Register early because this will fill up quickly. We'll see some amazing sites, of course, Jerusalem and all of the holy sites that you'd expect to see, plus some of the archaeological sites that tours don't normally visit. Shiloh, Bethel, Tel Dan, Mount Hermon. If you want to see those and join us with you, we'll do some teaching, we'll do some fellowship, we'll do some worship on the Sea of Galilee. Log on to lipkintours.com for more information. Sharon will be back with us next week, God willing, and until then, we thank you for watching as we keep watch. Have a blessed weekend. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Sci Friday from Skywatch TV.